Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 20, 57 to 66. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." When it was time for Elizabeth to deliver her baby, to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy.
On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, 11:30. How are you? Good. Well, welcome to our family service. I love all age services at St. Andrews. They're just the best sort of bonkers. In television, they say never work with children or live animals. But here we are in church, all age, donkeys and everything. It is fantastic. Children, that was just fantastic. The kids in the team deserve a medal. But we come to today's story about Zechariah, and it is all about waiting. Now, I don't know, are there any boys and girls here this morning who are counting the number of sleeps to Christmas? Put your hand up if you are counting the days to Christmas. Oh, well, not very many if you're excited about Christmas, it seems. How many sleeps till Christmas? How many do we have? It's the 9th, 15th, I suppose if you count today or if you don't count today. It's 16 sleeps till Christmas, okay? So children, make sure you remind your parents on the way home on the MTR. Only 16 sleeps, mummy and daddy. If we think about how long we wait for things, put your hand up. Does anyone count the number of days till their birthday? Anyone do that? Anyone really look forward to their birthday? Is it anyone's birthday here today? Oh, come on, there's 700 of us in here. There must be at least two. Oh, I don't believe you. So we had a little girl at the 9:30, so they're now my favorite service. It was her birthday. Okay, well, I can tell you, if you're counting for birthdays, three more days, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to put a reminder in your phone, I know you're a very generous congregation. Okay, now, thinking about how long we have to wait for things, what about if our next slide, how long would you have to wait for a sermon to last? Now, he need never know, okay? He need never know. I promise I'll keep it a bit shorter for the children today. What if we go to our next picture, if we think, how long would you have to wait for a baby? Anyone know? And if 9 months, yeah, absolutely, very, very good. And the next one's a little bit trickier. How long would you have to wait for God to speak? How long would it take for God to speak? Because our story today is about a husband and wife, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they had been waiting for 400 years for God to speak. God had not spoken for 400 years. The very last line of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, it says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." What God is saying in Malachi is that he's going to send a savior. He's going to send a great rescuer. But before he does, he's going to send a very special messenger like Elijah. And all that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, waiting and waiting and waiting, and prayers and prayers and prayers, and 400 years of silence. God didn't speak. There were no prophets. There were no books of the Bible written. You could almost wonder, is this going to happen? Perhaps God has simply fallen asleep. And in this story, we see something wonderful. We see how a nobody trusted a somebody who promised a gift for absolutely everybody. And nobody trusted a somebody who promised a gift for absolutely everybody. We're told we're in the days of King Herod the Great, and we're introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Verse 6 tells us that they were lovely, they were righteous and godly people, and they obeyed, and they trusted the Lord. But Zechariah, well, he wasn't a very famous priest, he was just an ordinary priest. He lived in a small town, and sadly, he was very, very old, very, very, very old, and even sadder, him and Elizabeth had not yet had any children. A small town, rural country pastor in the twilight of his life and having no children. That is Zechariah. But Zechariah, do you know what his name means? Well, Zechariah means the Lord remembers. And Elizabeth, her name means that God's oath. That God remembers, that God keeps his promises, and God keeps his oaths always. Even if people let you down or break their promises to you, would you know that God's word stands true? God always keeps his promises. Now, I don't know about you, when things don't go very well in your life, I like to have what's called a party. It's called a pity party, for one. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, even though things seem very difficult, and God had not spoken, they didn't complain, they didn't moan, they didn't throw a pity party, they trusted God and obeyed him. Now, I know that the clergy are very well respected amongst St. Andrew's parishioners, but do you know it wasn't quite the case in the Bible's times? Israel was a very small country, and there was approximately 18,000 priests, okay? So that's quite a lot. I think there's only around 1,000 pastors in Hong Kong, and that already feels like far too many, if you ask me. 18,000, and they were divided into 24 groups. What's 18,000 divided by 24? Come on, everyone knows it's 750. 750, and they were in these squads, and they had to go to the temple one week for 1 week's duty twice a year. I mean, this is the equivalent of spiritual jury duty, okay? And it was Zechariah's team's turn to go to the temple and to do the duty and to offer the prayers and to serve there. I don't know if you knew how they picked the minister who was going to do the job that day. I find this quite amusing. We're told in our passage today that they would cast lots. They would turn up and they would roll dice to see who got to do the special God bit. So, pass it back. No, not me, not you. So they would turn up and they'd roll the dice. No, they would see who got to go in and do the God bit at the hour of prayers. And this is a really special day for Zechariah, for we find out that it's his turn. He wins the big temple dice game, and it's his turn to go in and say the prayers for the people. Now, we don't know. I want you to imagine just for a moment, Zechariah. He goes to the temple year after year for a week's duty, and every day he'll roll the dice to see if it's his turn to go in and serve in the temple year after year after year. And it's like that time in school. You know, in school when you never got picked for the sports team and you were the person standing last in line waiting to get picked for the team. Zechariah had not yet said the prayers. And this is really significant because once you won the big dice game and you said the prayers, you got to retire, okay? You kind of got to spiritually go home because you were considered holy and blessed. And that was it. And so here's Zechariah turning up year after year after year, and he rolls the dice, and he gets it. This is his birthday, Christmas, wedding, Chinese New Year, the Super Bowl, the World Cup final. They've all come at once. He's an old man. Now he can retire in peace. And so what he has to do is he has to go in behind the curtain, and he would go, there would be a big brazier, and he would go there and offer the prayers and put frankincense and put myrrh on it. And the incense would go up as a symbol of God's people's prayer, smelling very sweet to him. And I wonder, if you were Zechariah, what would you pray? This is your day. You've won the big game. This is your day of honor. What would you pray for? I wonder if he went in and he closed his eyes and he prayed, Lord, please send your Savior that you promised to Malachi. But I also know what he prayed for certain. He closed his eyes and he said, Dear God, please give us a baby. Please give Elizabeth and I a special baby, just like you gave that other old couple, Abraham and to Sarah. And well, what happens next truly is remarkable. For Zechariah, he opens his eyes, and who's standing beside him? Well, the archangel Gabriel himself. He probably couldn't believe it. This day is just getting better and better and better. We're told in the scriptures that Zechariah was, fear came over him, which is a good response. So the angel says, do not be afraid. Zechariah is probably thinking it's a little bit too late for that. I'm just thankful that he didn't pass out or have a heart attack from the shock of seeing the angel beside this brazier on his big day. But the angel Gabriel appears and he says, Zechariah, God has heard your prayer, and he's answered it. And you and Elizabeth, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call him John. You're going to call him John. And can I encourage you, St. Andrews, what have we stopped praying about? What have you given up hoping for and praying for and seeking God in? Because we're told in verse 14 that this baby will fill the people with joy and gladness. And I know this story happened a long time ago, but man, don't you just get excited? Don't you just get pumped when God breaks into people's lives and he does something for them and he serves them and he provides for them and he saves them? This is a wonderful story. And he says, this baby in verse 15, it's going to be great before the Lord. Now, what did they call King Herod? What was his name? They called him the great, didn't he? But God says, no, 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 Herod's not the great one. No, this messenger, this baby John, he is going to be the great one. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And more importantly, verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of parents their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, where have we heard that verse before? 400 years ago, at the very end of the book of Malachi, God promised a messenger would be sent. And God remembers, and God keeps his promises. And this day, he turns up and he says, Zechariah, your son is going to be the great messenger promised to Malachi all those years ago. Now, Zechariah, at this point, probably should have just shut up, okay? But like a lot of men, he tends to talk too much. He probably should have said, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, what a great day, I'm going home. He turns to the angel and he says, well, how shall I know this? How can this be? And I find I find this encounter quite amusing because I can imagine the angel Gabriel just saying, well, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's just review, okay, what's happened here in the last few moments, okay? This is your special day, Zechariah. You've won the big dice game. You're at the temple. You're doing the presence of God is right here in the temple just behind us. This is your day, and you say, how will I know if this is true? You know, we can laugh, we can smile at the guy. The situation is slightly ridiculous. The angel Gabriel, I mean, the wings should give it away for one thing. But it's true, isn't it? How often does God say something or God speak something to us and we say, how do I know this? Is this true? How often does God say to us, I love you unconditionally. I am forgiving your sins, past and present and future. And we say, well, I did a really bad thing. How do I know this is still true? And God says, yes, I forgive that as well. I love you and I died for you and I rescued you. Zechariah cannot believe it. He says to Angel Gabriel, well, my wife is advanced in years. And that's just Greek for she's no spring chicken anymore. And I can just imagine Gabriel, well, he's just had enough. Well, do you know what he says? He says, Zechariah, my name is Gabriel. Now, that's a big deal. There's only two angels named in the Bible, Gabriel and the other one's Michael. Okay, that's a good pub quiz question. And he says, I'm Gabriel. If you get Gabriel or Michael in the Bible, the deal is definitely going down, okay? This is like the right-hand man. He says, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord, okay? What he means when he says that is, Zechariah, do you have any idea where I have just been? I have just been standing before Yahweh in heaven, the Lord and the creator of heaven and earth. That's where I just was, okay? And he heard your prayer, and he told me to come and speak to you that you're having a baby. And you're standing there saying, how will I know this, okay? I mean, come on, Buster, you have no idea who you're messing about, who you're messing with this afternoon. That's what he's saying. You have no idea who you're messing with. God means serious business, and God keeps his promise. And because you didn't trust this, because you spoke too much, Zechariah, now you're going to be very, very quiet, okay? I'm going to seal your lips for 9 months till you have the baby because you did not trust the word of the Lord. And I love this. If you see it, if you have it in your Connect, verse 22, the people are still outside waiting for Zechariah to come out and say the prayers. And I, you know, maybe you can empathize what's taking the pastor so long to do his job. But he comes out and he can't speak. And I would have loved to have been there because he comes out and we get the very first biblical account of the game of charades. We're told that he does actions and signs and points. And I would just love to have been in the temple court to see what that would have looked like. You know what? Zechariah is pregnant. What's happened in there? And I love it. He comes out and he can't speak. What a day. What a day for a nobody who trusted and followed a somebody and promised a wonderful gift for everybody in this special messenger. And he went home. And, well, the miracle happened. Elizabeth got pregnant. And I can just imagine the lovely scene in their home in their village as she's getting ready the nursery and folding blankets and rubbing her tummy and thanking God for this gift of this baby and also thanking God that she can win every argument with her husband for 9 whole months. And the big smile across her face. Don't you just love it? And she says, well, this is what she says in verse 25. The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. God has taken away my disgrace. God keeps his promises. God remembers his oath. And through this baby, he has taken away Elizabeth's shame. Perhaps she was mocked for being poor, or that her husband never got to say the prayers, or more likely that she'd never had a baby, that people were very mean to her. And now we see our God, who is in the business of taking away people's sin and their shame and their reproach. This is the wonderful God that we worship and we follow. And well, we know what happened later. 9 months, a little baby came along, and Zechariah, well, he finally pips up and he says, no, you got to call him John, okay? You got to call him John, which means God is gracious. God is gracious. And I really hope this morning, St. Andrews, you could see this gracious God who keeps his promises. And come back next week, where we'll hear all about Elizabeth's cousin, Mary, and the real gift, the real baby, who would not just take away Elizabeth's shame, but take away the sin and the shame of the whole world. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. You've been wonderful listeners. Let me pray, and then we will respond in song. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the messenger that you promised in John the Baptist. Thank you that you keep your promises, God, and through John, you got the people ready for the wonderful Savior that you were sending. Please help us all at St. Andrews, young and old, to know how great and how wonderful this Savior is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.